Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're about to hear the teaching ministry of Pastor Randy Castillo at Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please visit our website at www.hbcaz.org. So get ready, find your Bible, open your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
Yes, Lord. God, we want to give you our all this morning, and Lord, we know that you gave your all for us upon the cross as you gave your Son. This morning, Lord, without exception, we recognize that we can glean nothing, we can learn nothing, we can receive nothing outside of you, Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we ask that you would speak richly into our lives, deeply into our lives, and that it would be a life-changing experience every time we come into your presence, every time we worship you, every time we open up your word. Lord, we love you, praise you, honor you. In Jesus' name, and all God's children said,
amen.
Awesome, you may be seated. Great. Good worship. Woohoo. It's all for him. Him a good God, him do. Think about it, you'll get it. All right. Hey, couple of things, a couple of announcements. First of all, we have a new ministry called Mobile Manna. And what that is delivering food for people who are out of surgery or people who are maybe dealing with some traumatic event and could use a blessing. So we have a sign-up sheet if you'd like to be involved in that, or if you know someone who has need. It's right in the fellowship hall on the table, and you can sign up, you can help, you can get information. Howard and Carol Lee are the contact people. So keep that in mind. Also, super excited, Women's Retreat is coming up. Not to, woohoo, women, ladies, yeah. Okay, whatever. Okay, so I can't go. I want to go, but I can't go. The teacher is phenomenal. Phenomenal Bible teacher. There's a limited number of slots, so if you're thinking about going, you need to get your name in there, because once, it's not like the men's retreat where we could have hundreds if we want. There's enough room. This is not, they have two beautiful houses that they're going to be staying in. It's going to be awesome. Sign up is out in the fellowship hall. You can get all the information. Men, encourage the women in your life to go. They will be blessed. They will come back blessed. They'll come back on fire for God. And so keep that in mind. Also, don't forget, this Friday is our fellowship feast, potluck, and talent show. Yeah. So bring your favorite dish and something to eat. Bring the whole family. There's no child care because all the Sunday school teachers want to participate. So you're welcome to bring your kids, but you will have to be responsible for them. It's for the whole family. One quick thing, though, we cannot take any more signups for talent. We've got plenty of talent. But if you're here this morning for first service and you're wanting to be in the talent show, can you do me a favor? Right after service, go to my office. I need to touch base with you. And then if you're going to be here for both services, then wait until second service and come and talk to me after second service. It'll be 5 minutes max. I just need to touch base with everyone. So keep that in mind. This Friday, fellowship feast, talent show. It's going to be awesome. All right, open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 18. Yes. 6 o'clock. And I threatened to sing, so if you've never heard an Elvis song, you'll hear one then. So, yeah, whatever. Okay. you save that till after you hear it. You might be going, oh, what a mistake. No, it's fine. All right, open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 18. We are going to finish, God willing. Lord, help me be disciplined. We're going to finish The Lady is a Tramp, part 4, and we'll be done with this. And then I love the next two chapters are just going to fill you with joy. They're going to blow your mind. You're going to see Revelation in a whole new light. These are my two favorite chapters in Revelation coming up. Now, we saw last week the tramp detestable. Excuse me. Today, we're going to see the tramp delusion and the tramp destroyed. Now, Let me pray one more time. Father, speak. Speak, Lord. May your word come alive. May we see it deep and rich. May we just glean all that we can in this short period of time. Lord, we love you, praise you, and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So to get you up to speed, the church has been raptured. So the church isn't on the earth. We've seen the seals, the trumpets, the bowls, they've all been dished out, pardon the pun. But then in chapter 17, we saw the harlot was a religious, false religious system. It was an amalgamation of just every kind of false religion out there. It just gets clumped together in some big mishmash. Just something palatable, something easy to palate, something that can bring in the masses. That's the idea. She's called a harlot three times in chapter 17, depending on your translation. Harlot, whore. It's the word. Some of your translations actually say that. Her title, though, she has an official title, and it's given in verse 5 of chapter 17, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of abominations of the earth. And so that's not a great title. Then we saw that she sits on many waters, and this means she has a global influence. The many waters are the masses of people that are still alive on the earth. And so she is carried by their approval. She sits on a beast, and the beast is none other than the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Satan himself. And they usher this false religion in, and they use it to promote themselves. She's dressed lavishly, which tells us this religion is founded on money. And that's the common denominator, by the way, between the religious Babylon and the one we're going to see, the economic city Babylon that we're going to see in our chapter this morning. She gets drunk on the blood of the saints. So she basically loves killing those who believe in Jesus, even during the tribulation. She sits on seven mountains, and some people, oh, that's Rome, that's Rome. Well, no, it could be, but there's some issues with that. The one thing we know that they are kings. Then we see that the beast has 10 kings that end up hating her, the religious Babylon. Then in 18, when we came to chapter 18, we saw the city was represented by an economic system that had fallen. Remember in verse 3, look at it. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. Abundance of luxury. Now, I mentioned to you last week and the week before that many people believe this Babylon to be America. Well, let me tell you, there are some things that seem to point to that, but there. One thing we know is that if it is, it's very impotent. It may be rich and powerful compared to everything else, but it's impotent because there's no real mention of Americans' superpower or force. I do not believe, though, and I'm going to show you, that it's America. However, think about how it does sound like America. In the fact that, did you realize that the average family home has 300,000 items in your home? You ever try and count them? Good luck. I'm telling you, it's about 300,000. That's the typical American home. Actually, the average size of a typical American home has gotten three times larger over the last 50 years. Yet, only 25% of people with two-car garages are able to park their cars in the garage because they have so much stuff. And only 32% that have two-car garages are able to get one of their cars in the garage. And yet, one out of 10 Americans have a rental storage facility to put the rest of their stuff in. Sad. In fact, storage facilities is the fastest growing segment of the commercial real estate business. It is said that there are 50,000 storage facilities. That is five times more than Starbucks. And you know, Starbucks are everywhere. The average American throws away 65 pounds of clothes. Of course, if you were Shaquille O'Neal, that's just one set of socks. But I just got some big feet. Did you know this? That in the world, America has 3.1% of the world's children live in America, yet we have 40% of the toys that are globally available, and yet our kids say they have nothing to play with. Listen, yes, we live lavishly, but I'm going to show you a little later that I think we're headed for, you know what we're headed for? A rapture. That's what we're headed for. We're headed for heaven. So let's look at the lady is a tramp. Let's look at the tramp delusion in verse 9 through 20. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and live luxuriously with her weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, the great city Babylon, the mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come." Now, some believe the reason why these kings stand afar off is perhaps it's a nuclear explosion. And if you know anything about that, you don't want to get close. They say that the judgment comes in 1 hour. Well, here's the thing that we know. Obviously, I told you that 300 times the city Babylon is mentioned in the Bible. And almost every time, in fact, I'll say 99% of the time, Babylon is referring to an actual city. So it stands to reason that here we do have an actual city, a literal city that is being devastated. But though it is a city, I believe this city represents a global economy. And you'll see why here in a moment. But notice, the kings of the earth, verse 9, who committed fornication and live luxuriously with her. Remember, she's a call girl. She's a prostitute. She's a whore. But there's a difference between a prostitute and a call girl. You know what the difference is? The amount of money that they take in. This city, this economic system is more like a call girl. It might look classy. It might hang out with wealthy people, but it's still as trashy as a street-walking prostitute. Still the same heart. Now, here's the contrast. What about the contrast between the harlot and the bride of Christ? Well, the harlot lives for luxury. The bride of Christ lives for righteousness. The harlot drinks the cup of abomination. The bride drinks freely of the cup of living water. The harlot is in the wilderness. The bride will be in heaven. The harlot is called a great city. The bride resides in a holy city. The harlot rides on the beast. The bride will return with Christ on heavenly steeds. That's going to be fun. The harlot will end in destruction. The bride of Christ will live forever. That's beautiful. But it's just sad. George Burns, he played God in a movie with, John Denver. Yeah. He played God. Here's what he said. Don't stay in bed unless you can make money in bed. Wow. How trashy. That's not my God. But a Christian, we get out of bed to glorify Christ. We don't stay in bed. We get out of bed because we have a purpose. That's why 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." So George Burns and many like him think that it's good to make money in bed. But God says, you know what? Sleep, but get out of bed and bring glory to Christ. And he says, "For in 1 hour judgment has come." Some say this is a figure of speech. I don't think so. Yes, in Revelation 17:13, it says, "The ten horns which you saw, the ten kings who received no kingdom as of yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. This term 1 hour means in the last days. But here, this is obviously towards the end of Revelation. We are at the end of Revelation. And so there's not time left. We're down to the wire. So this would have to be a really swift, and they're standing off. They're just in awe of how quickly this incredible city economic system has been left desolated. For 1 hour, she is made desolate. Now also notice they're standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for 1 hour has come to desolation. Your judgment has come. They're freaking out over this economic harlot. But remember this in chapter 17? The 10 horns, which you saw the 10 kings receive their authority in the last hour. But then it says in 16, then the 10 horns, which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot and make her desolate and naked and eat her flesh and burn her with fire. And you're like, what? How can it be that they burned her? Listen, that was the religious system harlot. There's two harlots. Yes, they're very close in relation. They all stem from Babylon. They all have that same nature. But what happened is the religious harlot, they're done with her. They got their power. They got the masses to follow them. They duped everybody. And now that they're done using her, they toss her away. But here in this situation, this harlot, the city harlot, not the religious harlot, this one, this is a marketplace. This is money. As you're going to see, they're weeping, they're concerned, they're lamenting because it meant their pockets. Verse 11. Now we have the merchants, not the kings, but the merchants. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn for her. Aw, they actually care about her. Nope. Look, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold, silver, precious stones, and pearls. Basically, all they want from her, they're same thing with the merchants. Oh boy, who's going to buy our stuff? Sad. It's sad. And the fact that it says gold, silver, and precious stones, immediately my mind went to what we are striving for as Christians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12, it says this. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, meaning Christ, with gold, silver, and precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test each one's work and what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as though as through fire. So here's the point. See, the world wants earthly riches. These merchants are looking at Babylon, the city, and going, oh, who's going to buy our stuff? But as Christians, we shouldn't have that focus. Instead, we should look at, what am I doing for Christ? Because when I get to heaven, it's a reward. Now, here's the thing. If what you're doing ends up being wood, hay, and straw, and it's burned up, you don't lose your salvation. Works, I want to make this clear, you don't have to work at being saved. But when you are saved, the things we do, if we do them with the right heart, they become a reward for us. Some people will go to heaven and they have nothing to put it in the furnace. What'd you do for the Lord? Nothing. Get in here. You're saved. That's okay. At least you're in. That's a beautiful thing. But to receive a reward. But here in this case, they're weeping because no one's going to buy their stuff. It's sad. It is sad. Fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and every kind of citron wood and every kind of object of ivory and every kind of most precious wood, bronze, iron, marble. cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil, flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, bodies and souls of men. Man, what an incredible list. But did you catch that at the end? Bodies and souls of men. They were selling bodies and the souls of men. How do you sell a body? Well, is it body parts? Is it human trafficking? We see that very common today. It's sad, it's heartbreaking. Hey, pornography is the sell of body parts. And how about this? How about the fact that Planned Parenthood is selling fetal tissue? Maybe it gets even escalated to an even greater level. Sad, sad. Selling body parts, selling bodies. I think it encompasses all of that. I think it's body parts. I think it's human trafficking. I think it's pornography. I think it's stem cell. I think it's all of the above. Why? Because that's how Satan works. But then the selling of souls. There's a old blues player. The movie with Ralph Macchio, The Crossroads, was actually supposed to be a depiction of his life. He supposedly met Satan. He had no talent. He met Satan at the crossroads, and now here we are talking about him, that he sold his soul to the devil. Christian Bale, giving thanks for the winning the Golden Globe, gave thanks to Satan, and the Church of Satan said, thank you, Christian Bale, for giving us recognition. Wow. Ariana Grande says she's been attacked by demons. Eminem, in his songs, often sings or raps that he's sold his soul to the devil. Fleetwood Mac, Stevie Nicks, and on and on and on. You can go look at these different accounts of these different artists who claim to have had encounters with Satan or demons. All for what? For fame. Selling their soul for gain. And you're going to see that may even tie in as we're looking here. But isn't that for greed? John D. Rockefeller, an Ohio native, started the Standard Oil Company. Rockefeller was, at that point, the world's richest man, the first ever American billionaire. Considering he was a billionaire in the early 1900s, he is still considered as the richest person of modern history, because you figure what money is worth and how it changed. A reporter asked him once, he says, how much money is enough? And he responded, just a little bit more. You see, it's never satisfying. People think, oh, if I could win the lottery. You know how many people's lives have been ruined? They never show you that. How many marriages and families have been destroyed? Man, I see when someone passes away, I see where family members fight and squabble over pennies, it's so sad. But it shows you where the heart is. One person said this, you'd be surprised what people will do for money that they won't do for love. It's true. It's true. The things people will do for money, yet the things people won't do for love. How about what people do for a paycheck, but they won't do for Christ? Let's look at verse 14. I think we're going to make it. Okay. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid. Splendid, really? have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. It's splendid to sell body parts and traffic people and murder babies and sell the tissue. Yeah, it was splendid. You see, the why was it splendid? Because it was the cash cow. Cha-ching. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, not for her. Notice what they're not weeping and wailing for. Okay, yeah, there are people who are dying in whatever disaster this is. Nuclear could be. But why aren't they weeping and wailing over their own souls to God, that they are lost? And yet I see that today where people just go about their merry way. Why? Because they have a two-car garage that's full. They have a storage place that they're paying money for on things that they never look at. We need to really assess our lives, people, especially if we're coming to the end of days. And saying, alas, alas, the great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet. That's like saying, oh, the call girl who was all fancy and pearls, she's still a harlot, still a whore. That was clothed in fine linen, purple, scarlet, adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. It's kind of like what Jesus said to the religious leaders. Man, oh man, you look good on the outside. Nice outfit, prayers in front of everyone out loud. Oh, you tithe, you're always in the synagogue. But inside it was disgusting. Here you have a harlot, a call girl, looks fine on the outside, maybe even intelligent conversation, but is low, low, low. And they're weeping because of their money. Their money is burning, not people. They believe the way to happiness is through fortune. Here's what Benjamin Franklin said. Money has never made man happy, nor will it. There is nothing in its nature to produce happiness. The more of it one has, the more one wants. And that goes along with Nelson Rockefeller, right? John D. Rockefeller, I'm sorry. How about Groucho Marx? I'm pulling out some old guys. I know these people. I'm a historian, so there you go. Groucho Marx. While money can't buy happiness, it certainly lets you choose your own form of misery. Ain't that the truth? Jesus says this in Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, here's the thing. There's nothing wrong with having money, and I've said this, and many pastors say this all the time. You can have money, just don't let money have you. If that's all you live for is money and the party, you are part of the Babylonian system. If you, in your life, have no time for God and serving God and giving to God, you are part of the Babylonian system. And today, God is saying, wake up, cry out to me, not over your finances. Money is a good servant. It's a cruel master. Money can serve us, but we tend to want to serve money. We need to make sure that we have the proper view of money. Let's look at the next verse. Watch. Verse 17. For in 1 hour, such great riches come to nothing. Riches? Their riches was sin. It was sinful. Every shipmaster and all who travel by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? And they threw dust on their head and cried out, weeping and wailing. Basically, they like that we would be dead. That we would, little do they know, they are dead. They are dead. Just because you're breathing oxygen, they're heading straight to hell. They're on the highway to hell. With AC/DC. They might as well be jamming that in the background. They threw the dust on their head and cried out, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, the great city. They keep calling it great. What's so great about it? Oh, yes, I forgot. It's great because they can make money there. Every time I read this, you know what I think of? Vegas. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, great Vegas. Hey, what happens if Vegas stays in Vegas? Hey, man, you can get rich. It's a losing town. It's sad. It's deplorable. There are some good churches there. God always finds light in darkness. Alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth. You see, that's what it's about. For 1 hour, she was made desolate. And then here's, look, heaven. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Rejoice? Really? Yes, really. Because it was a total ruin, total judgment, irretrievable ruin. This enemy could never persecute another saint. Remember, they were getting drunk off of murdering Christians. And what God is saying, reason why rejoice, because there will never be another persecuted Christian ever. Isn't that awesome? No one ever mocking you, looking down at you, calling you narrow-minded. That's done. Just pure rejoicing in the truth with people who know the truth. God has answered once and for all the prayers. Those who've called, have you ever been mistreated and called for justice? God, when are you going to avenge? When is justice coming? God goes, here it is. All those evil who hate good and to have no desire to ever accept Christ. All the evil, false religion that is duping many people to go the wrong direction. All the evil, tyrannical governments dealt with one swift blow. And God says, rejoice, we're done with that garbage. Yay. So while people who are shallow and only thinking about money are weeping in heaven, they're rejoicing. Wow, what a contrast. What a contrast. But isn't that like going to a believer's funeral as opposed to an unbeliever's funeral? When you go, when my mama died, when my daddy died, we rejoice. Why? We know where they're going, but when you don't know where they're going, here's the same thing. They're like a bunch of unbelievers grieving over the funeral of a city, but oh, if it was a godly city, there would be no end. That's the point. Let's look at the tramp destroyed in verse 21 through 24. Oh, I'm going to make it. I prayed in my God, we need to get done with this tramp. So tired. For 4 studies on this tramp, I've had enough. I didn't want to do it in the first place. Okay, 21. That's not true. I love the word of God. It's all good. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, now, real quick, millstone. Sound familiar? Well, first of all, Jeremiah, right? 51, verse 63 through 64. Now it shall be, when you have finished reading this book, that you shall tie a stone to it and throw it into the Euphrates. Then you will say, watch this, thus Babylon shall sink and not rise from the catastrophe that I will bring upon her. It's a prophecy of this, what's happening here. Or how about this? And this is really, Jesus said this, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. So it's a millstone. Millstone represents God's judgment. Now, you might say, but Pastor Randy, hold on. In Matthew 18, he says, if you cause one of these little ones who believe in me, yeah, but he isn't tying the millstone around their neck. He's crushing them with it. because maybe that didn't cause believers to stray, but it caused one of his creation, his children. Listen, God doesn't want to see anyone perish. The proof, he sent his son to die, to be brutalized for our, you cannot say, well, God doesn't love me. No, you don't love him. He loves you. And he proved it beyond a shadow of a doubt. He didn't have to come down here to this little ball of dirt, but he did it because he loves us. And here, these people decided to listen to this harlot, decided to listen to the Antichrist. God is still grieving over that, and he holds them responsible. Crush. The Antichrist, the beast, the false prophet, the kings of the world, and the harlot, all dealt with this millstone. Watch this. Thus, with violence, this great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. And look, we get a little glimpse into this city. The sound of harps, musician, flutists, trumpeters shall not be heard in you anymore. Entertainment. The word entertainment comes from the Latin word, which means to hold inside. You see, entertainment, you're supposed to hold to be entertained, you're to not think. You're to hold all your thoughts inside and just go numb. Yeah. Listen, I like that. Sometimes I like to go to a movie and just, you know, that was good. Well, actually, my wife says it must stink to be me because I analyze everything. Why'd they use that music here? Look at the lighting. Look, the camera's moving. They want to tell us something. She goes, hon, can we just watch the movie? No. But the idea is when you go to a movie, it's just supposed to, when you watch entertainment, you're supposed to be devoid of thought and just take in what they want to present to you. Now, think about this. When I think of entertainment, harpists, instrumentation, I think of two places, Los Angeles and New York. Now, New York is the hub of the stock market. New York is definitely a seaside city. So is LA, but more New York. LA is so spread out. New York is squished and piled high. But I don't think it's New York. Why? Well, look at New York today. It's a slum now. Nothing's open. The Broadway's not lit up. It's not happening. It's becoming a slum. Andrew Cuomo. But Dubai. You familiar with Dubai? Dubai is a part of the United Arab Emirates. Dubai is synonymous with oil over the last century. Oil companies though it's synonymous with oil, only 7% of its income comes from oil. Dubai's revenue is $100 billion a year. Most of the income, that's one city. Most of its income from heavy investments and industrial. Do you realize that more and more movies are being produced in Dubai? One that I really liked was the last James Bond. It was Mission Impossible, was in Dubai. A lot of movies, you know, they show the glitz and glamour. Well, let me tell you, November 23rd of this year, coming up, the World Chamber Congress, a one-of-a-kind experience that brings together all of its additions, chambers, and business heads, as well as representatives from international organizations and governments alike, in conveying the globe's most prominent leaders and brightest minds, we aim to spur change through dialogue and cooperation to create a more meaningful and prosperous future for all. That's happening in Dubai this year. I'm not saying it's Dubai. But man, oh man, has things shifted from New York to Dubai. And if you've seen that city, it is spectacular. I told my wife like a couple of years ago, I was like, man, I'd love to go to Dubai and check it out. He's saying, no, you been there? No. I just like seeing new places. He doesn't want me to go. I can't go now. He told me no. But, well, I'll just be honest. Right now, after doing this study, I'm not as excited about going there either. But at 2 years ago, I was like, that'd be cool. Look at it. It's like happening. And no, maybe it's not. But we do know this. It is a city. There's going to be lots of entertainment. There's going to be a lot of wealth. There's going to be buying and selling. And here's the thing. How appropriate that it is a part of the United Arab Emirates. So I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying it isn't. Here's the one thing I know, folks. America is not in end times prophecy. Why? I don't know. But from the looks of it, well, you figure it out. Let's continue. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you anymore, and the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you anymore. The light of the lamp shall not shine in you anymore. The voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall not be heard in you anymore, for your merchants were the great men of the earth. Six times in three verses, shall not be heard, shall not be found, shall not be heard, and shall not shine in you anymore. Six times, that's not a coincidence. In three verses, that's not a coincidence. The reign of Satan has prevailed in the pride of men by luring them with money and riches and the mark. You can get whatever you want, health, everything, free. Just have the mark. And now that is their undoing. And look at this. For by your sorcery, all nations were deceived. Now, if you are a Bible student, you know that word sorcery in the Greek is pharmakia, which means to prepare drugs. Now, doesn't take a rocket scientist. You can go to a lot of false religions. They'll use drugs in order to get them into a heightened awareness, to experience the spiritual. You know, sometimes people use peyote or shrooms or LSD, and they say they have these outer body. They're more enlightened. Yeah, no. It's garbage. Here at the end time, they're going to listen, they got to use drugs. Why? There's so much pain and suffering during the tribulation. It's scary times. So everybody's just getting high, partying, numbing the fear. And people always come up to me. I'm telling you, even this week, I had someone come and tell me, but Pastor Randy, drugs, it's natural. God created it. Did you know lead is natural? You want a bullet? It's natural. Rattlesnakes are natural. Why don't you just hug one? Ooh, you're so natural. Plutonium is natural. Listen, you have to go and smoke a weed from another planet like Pluto. I was going to use a different planet, but it'd be too racy. You have to smoke a weed from Pluto in order for it not to be natural. And even then, it's still natural because God created Pluto even. So there's nothing in this world that is unnatural, but it doesn't mean it's good for you. That's a poor excuse. That's a lame excuse. That just means, Christian, you really don't want, you want to go, how close can I get to God and still, that's not a Christian. That's someone who's playing religion. We shouldn't say, how much sin can I get away with and still be called a Christian? You want to know, here you go, whatever you're doing, would you come and do it in church in God's house? Oh, no. Why not? It's natural. Yeah, but that wouldn't be right. Thank you. What do you think you're going to do when Jesus returns? Hang on, Jesus. You want some? You're going to do that? Do you realize that globally, the drug trade industry makes nearly $400 billion selling drugs, illegal drugs? More than the cost of dollars, it costs lives. It costs families. The Division of Vital Statistics and the Journal for American Medical Association reported that drug overdoses per year are over 40,000 overdoses per year. Per year. This has been ongoing, not just this year, every year. Yet, more than the cost of physical lives, think of all the souls that are lost in that. See, the lure of the Babylon religion, the Babylonian religion, the Babylonian economic system, basically do whatever you want, worship the way you want, seek after money and riches and self-gratification, it's like a drug. People are, they go to it like a moth to the flame, and that's literally the great, great illustration. All sin. Do you ever notice that all sins tend to be addictive, but praising the Lord isn't? Why is that drugs and sex and all these things are addictive, but praying to God isn't addictive? Reading the Bible isn't. Why? Could it be Satan? Yeah, I think so. There's no, by the way, there is an addiction that's good for you, and it's called Jesus Christ and Him crucified and Him alive and Him in love with you and you surrendering to that. That's a good addiction. Now, if you were like me, or if you are like me, prior to my being saved, I sought after my sin with all my heart. I planned everything. Even I had kids, I had kids when I wasn't saved, and they would even take a back seat to me seeking after the party and my sin. Nothing could get in my way. I was always planning ahead. Every penny I had, I would count to make sure I had enough for the party. Now, parties aren't bad, but the way I partied was bad. That was very bad. Well, when you're saved, when you come to a saving faith in God, you know what happens? Now, that same tenaciousness for sin is now the same tenaciousness I have for Jesus. Why? I'm addicted to God. I'm addicted to Jesus. I love the song, the psalm, actually, Psalm 42. It says this: as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire. I long to worship thee. See, the deer panteth for the water because it sustains its life. It needs that water to live. It doesn't go there because it's like, hey, I'm addicted to this stuff. No, it needs to stay alive. That's why my soul longs for you, God, because you are my life. What else is there? Look at verse 24. And in her was found the blood of prophets and saints and of all who were slain on the earth. Now, see here, this tells us that, yes, it's a city, but the city actually represents all the Babylonian heart that ever existed today, in yesterday's past, and even into the book of Revelation. But notice the crime scene. Do you realize that you can take Clorox and you can take and wash blood away and you can't see it, but forensically you can never get rid of a blood stain? Did you know that? It doesn't go away. And here he says, found in you is the blood of the prophets and the saints who were slain on the earth. It, basically, Numbers 32:23. Be sure your sin will find you out. Babylon is a symbolic of a world system, both a fake religion, and those who are hungering for thirsting for greed, for power, for money. Because there's no literal city that is responsible for every saint that has ever been slain. But this one city stands as a symbol. It's a stand-in, and it receives God's righteous judgment upon them. And there's no Christians in there. We're all up in heaven. We're getting ready for the next chapter. Woo-hoo, gonna be awesome. But here's the thing. Where's your heart? Is it the Babylonian heart? Glitz, greed, gold? Or is it a godly heart? God, glory, and the gospel. We get to choose. Are you linked with the world and the harlots of the world? Are you linked with the word and the bride of Christ? I pray today that you are linked with Christ because he loves you and he proved it. And so, thank God we're done with the harlot. And I pray in your life that you are done with the harlot and ready to be a part of the bride, ready to go to the wedding supper of the Lamb, because the Lord is coming. It's soon. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this time in your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that you have put the call in our heart today that we would surrender to you and quit surrendering to this world that, man, are there a lot of distractions. Man, are there a lot of things that glitter, that shimmer. Man, there are a lot of things that tug on our hearts, on our eyes, on our ears. Lord, I pray that we would do battle, Lord, that we would fight the good fight, that we would put on the whole armor of God, that we would wield the sword of the Spirit, that we'd be like ninjas, Lord, with your word, that the enemy would flee from us and know that we're not going to succumb to his temptations, that we're not going to succumb to our own flesh and its desires, but that we're going to live for the Spirit. Lord, thank you, Jesus. You offered us such a beautiful gift. And now, Lord, there's nothing we have to do to receive it other than just ask you to forgive us, ask you to come into our lives, ask you to show us how we can be a blessing to your name. Or we can just tag you on our keychain and do our own thing. God, I pray that no one is willing to do that today, that we would all make our calling and election sure. Father God, search me, O Lord, see if there be any wicked way in me, and then lead me in the way everlasting. And so, God, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's true. Thank you that you've opened our eyes and our ears to hear from you. And so, Lord, we love you, praise you, honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, listen, if you need to receive Christ this morning, or you need to recommit your life, or you need to get back on that straight and narrow, we have some deacons up front, and they'd love to pray with you. We're not asking you for nothing. We're not going to detain you. We just want to pray with you and help you. So if that's you, anytime after the service or during the song, you can come up. They'll pray with you. God bless you. Let's stand, sing one last song.